Time for another edition of Taco Tuesday here on Q92. We get together with Amber Boyens from ImmuNutrition and talk a little bit about health and nutrition and you're good at living a better life. Right, Amber?
You got it.
Yes. And let's get to the subject at hand today, which is something I know nothing about, but you've had some experience with this subject. We're talking about eczema today.
Eczema, yes.
All right. So, well, what is it for starters?
Yeah. So we had a few weeks here where we talked about smoothies and chickpeas and some of those things. Right. And I know this one's a little bit more medical
about. We'll work chickpeas in there somewhere along the line.
Definitely.
Sure.
Yes. Yes. We can work that in. So this last week, just ending yesterday, was National Eczema Week. October is Eczema Awareness Month. So I thought maybe a good thing for us to just touch on. And like you said, something that I personally and our family have experience with. One of our kiddos has eczema. So we've dealt with it a lot. And I've had multiple patients I've worked with who have dealt with eczema. So what is it? Great question. Eczema is a skin condition, also known as atopic dermatitis, is sometimes what it's called. So dermatitis, inflammation of the skin, is basically what that means. And eczema can be a really frustrating thing for people. So like I mentioned to you before we started, I'm not a dermatologist, so we won't go into the specifics of eczema itself, other than to talk a little bit about kind of how it impacts life, how many people it impacts, and then how food might play a role in it. So eczema affects 31.6 million people in the United States. That's roughly 10% of the population. So if you aren't dealing with eczema or nobody in your family has dealt with eczema, you probably know somebody who has it. And of that 31.6 million people, 9.6 million are kids. And this can have a huge impact on everything from learning in school. It can be a huge distraction if they're uncomfortable. It can be difficult for people at work. It can impair sleep. People tend to be itchiest in the evenings, and some of that is just that you're not distracted by all the goings-on of the day anymore. You just have your discomfort to think about. And it opens, can create open areas on the skin, too, that can increase your risk of infection. So it really is an important thing to keep managed. And most of the recommendations that you'll get from dermatologists will have to do with creams and baths and keeping it moisturized and trapping in moisture, and all of that is super, super important. And the way food plays in tends to be in more of controlling flares of eczema, not preventing the cause. So food allergies or food intolerances are not the cause of eczema, but they kind of go hand in hand and can sometimes worsen those flares. So that's kind of where diet comes into this a little bit.
Are there certain foods that cause more trouble than others?
There are. So one of the biggest foods that can be a trigger for eczema is eggs. So kind of easy to remember, like we were saying.
Eczema,
yeah. Yes. So egg allergy and eczema go hand in hand. So like I said, a food allergy is really tightly connected with eczema, even though, so they're considered what are called comorbidities. They often go hand in hand, but one doesn't necessarily cause the other. Now, kids who have eczema are 6 times more likely to develop a food allergy. So one of the theorized methods of food allergy development that is getting a lot of research is that if an allergen is exposed through the skin, so if egg or peanut or dairy, any of those types of things are exposed to a child through the skin, if they have eczema, before they've eaten it orally, that may increase their risk of developing an allergen to that food. So think about a parent eating a peanut butter sandwich or touching eggs with their hands and then touching the skin of their child with eczema may, in children who are genetically susceptible, may increase the risk of developing an allergy. So eggs themselves are one of the most common allergies associated with eczema flares for our kiddo. It's an immediate reaction usually with an eczema flare. But often those flares happen days or several hours to days afterwards. So it can be kind of hard to track and manage. But milk, dairy products in general can be a big flare for eczema as well. Peanuts can be a big flare. Sometimes simply too much added sugar can be a flare for eczema. There's a specific type of dermatitis called dermatitis herpetiformis, and this is one specifically associated with gluten. So that one would completely go away, whereas these others, if we pull them out, we might see improvement in the skin, but we're probably going to have to do some of those other methods that we talked about too to really get it to go away. And then there's something called salicylates. Have you ever heard of salicylates before?
I don't believe I have.
Most people
haven't.
I'm
going to learn about it right now.
Yes. So salicylates are found in a lot of our fruits and vegetables, and really common ones like broccoli and blackberries and tomatoes and peppers and mushrooms, olives, zucchini. I mean, the list is pretty long, but salicylates are associated with eczema as well. Now, the trick is that some of these foods could be completely safe if there's not already an eczema flare happening. But in an individual who already has a flare of eczema, these could make it worse. So that's where it becomes kind of a challenging thing to track, because other things that could make it worse are stress or environmental allergens or perfumes or soaps or anything like that. So it can be a little bit tricky to figure out if food impacts it, which is why it's really important to work with a nutrition professional if that's something that you think might be a problem for you.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also foods that can help potentially prevent it. So I always like the method of adding in foods before we take away foods. And it's going to be different for everybody, but typically focusing on things that are anti-inflammatory. I mean, just a general rule of thumb with eating, the more you can do anti-inflammatory, probably the better.
And what would that be? What kind of foods?
Yes. So gut support foods. We've talked about those a few times. So if we talk about those chickpeas again.
Oh, yes. The chickpeas. I knew they come in here.
You got it. Those are going to be a prebiotic, and getting lots of those good prebiotics will be really important. Last week, we talked a little bit about smoothies and what you can put into a smoothie and how to build them. Those can be a great place to get in pre and probiotics if you put kefir or yogurt or something like that in there. So really supporting the gut is going to be one of the best things you can do. Colorful fruits and vegetables. So again, it comes back to those phytonutrients that we've talked about a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
The more colorful fruits and vegetables you can get into your diet, the less inflammation you have. The less inflammation you have, typically the fewer flares you're going to have with eczema. And then lots of healthy fats. We've talked about that one before too. But avocado, olives, if salicylates aren't a flaring category of food, olive oil, all of our different oils like that, coconut and coconut oil, fish.
Oh, yeah. At the Grand Theater.
Fish oil. At the Grand Theater.
Yeah, with the popcorns.
There you go.
A lot of popcorn.
Very anti-inflammatory food, that Grand Theater popcorn.
That's right.
Absolutely. Maybe the only anti-inflammatory thing that's there. But it's always a good one to get if you're going through.
Everything else is recommended by the American Doctor Association or whatever.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm not part of that. No. I don't have a membership there, so I'll just take your word for it.
All right.
So those are kind of our biggest things that can help with prevention of it. And again, this can be kind of tricky to figure out, because we really don't want you to eliminate foods if you don't need to. So in adults, elimination diets are can be harmful if we don't get the right balance of nutrition, but especially in children, unnecessarily eliminating foods can be really problematic. So since we really can't test for this, there's no blood work we can do to see if salicylates are a flare. There's no blood work we can do to see if peanuts or dairy products are a flaring food outside of food allergy. But often people who have these foods as flaring foods are not truly allergic to them. They're just causing a flare of the skin because of whatever inflammatory process. And that's something that researchers are still learning about.
Okay. And of course, like you say, it's a good idea to see somebody who's into nutrition and maybe could steer them in the right direction, help them out if they think they got a problem. And you wouldn't know anybody like that, would you?
You know, there is one person that I'm familiar with that's local out here even.
That's right here in Madison.
And eczema really is one of those things I do have a lot of personal experience with my family. I've worked with people a lot on, and it can be just such a frustrating thing for people. So if they have questions, just want to look into it a little bit more, you can find me online, immunutrition.com. That's I-M-U, nutrition.com, or on my Facebook page at immunutrition. Or you can reach out here, and you guys will send them in the right direction, too.
Right. We know where to find you.
Absolutely.
So. Yep. So you're located right here in Madison.
Sure am.
All right. Well, Amber, appreciate the information, as always. Another good Taco Tuesday, and we'll be back on the air a week from today with another topic dealing with nutrition and your health.
Sounds great.
You have a great week.
You too. Thank you.